about breathing. You gotta put it in perspective.
President Obama speaking from the East Room of the White House, telling the nation and the world President Obama is in fact dead. He was a U.S.-led strategic, Osama bin Laden is dead.
Yeah.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
The great Al Pacino. Good morning.
What?
I don't know what this is.
This is Sean Connery. Talking about curling.
Sorry.
The only secret in this business is there's no secret. Be yourself. If yourself is good enough, it's good enough. If it's not good enough, it ain't good enough.
You are a sad little man.
And now,
ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, welcome to a world of happiness.
Our feature presentation.
Is that what we call it?
That's what we're all about, is a world of happiness. That's what the Kevin and Bean Show is famous for.
Hey, what's up, party people? Welcome into an all-new show, this time for a Tuesday. So, Coldplay today is happening?
That's today?
That's a thing that's going on this show in, like, less than 2 hours? I just walked down the hall to the new Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock, and it's, you forget that you're in an office building. Yeah. You walk in and you go, hey, I'm in some dive nightclub. And how does it already look like it's been abused for 40 years?
I think that was the artistic look.
Oh, that was the intent.
Well, I don't think it was the intent, but I think afterwards they went, wow, this looks like it's been abused for 40 years. Let's say that.
It does look like the place has already been trashed, yet it hasn't even opened yet,
yeah.
Which I think is the one good thing about K-Rock.
But, and they have my stereo in there, and I'm not sure how they got it.
Coldplay is a pretty big band to be playing a room that small. I'll tell you that.
I agree.
So we'll be bringing it all to you later on today. First, though, here's an interesting story. Kevin, did you go out and get the new Apple iPhone? The 4,
I did not
the 4S?
No.
You waiting for the 5? I think I'm waiting for the 5.
I don't have an iPhone. I have everything else.
Oh.
Everything else Apple, but not iPhone.
Okay. Well, they have some new features that people are excited about. One, of course, is the Siri that you've heard about, which is that virtual assistant that you can talk to.
Yeah.
And people are crazy about that. People are loving that.
It works for everybody but me.
Because nobody can hear your voice?
No, my voice doesn't go. I'm sorry. Please repeat 100 times.
There's another feature that is kind of like a... I don't know. It's kind of like a Foursquare, one of those kind of check-in services. Have you heard about this called Find Your Friends? You can load up your friends' information. I'm not exactly sure how it works because I don't have the new phone yet. But apparently, you can keep track of the people in your circle of friends so everybody knows where everybody is.
Who needs to know where all of your friends are ever?
People like stuff like this for whatever reason. You want to be able to see that your friends are at the mall, or your friends are, you know, cruising, or whatever it is they're doing. This gives you the opportunity to kind of keep up with them. People are into stuff
That's
like this.
Weird.
So this guy in New York buys the iPhone 4S for his wife and puts the Find My Friends app on her phone without telling her because he suspected she was having an affair.
See, problem one. Here we go.
Problem one. Reason. This is just like you were saying. Why would anyone want to do this, right? So he has posted to a site called Mac Rumors that he loaded up the wife's new 4S to find my friends without her knowing. She told me she was at her friend's house in the East Village. I had suspicions about her meeting this guy who lived uptown. Lo and behold, Find My Friends had her right there. So he texted her and said, where are you? And she lied because he could see where she was. And now he says he's getting a divorce. Apparently she was in the meatpacking district.
Oh,
and I think you know what that's all about.
Sure.
So anyway, there's that's a word of warning for you that Find My Friends may not be ideal in all situations.
Doesn't it seem like it's just common sense that I don't want everyone to know where I am?
Yes. Yes. I don't understand the people. I've never understood the appeal of Foursquare. The people who they
well,
go to
if
the,
your friends are at the same location, I can see that.
Call them. Text
well, you,
them.
But you don't have
run
to.
Run into them.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
What's – I don't get the – King of Mexico does this. Why do I care if he's at Barnes & Noble?
Why are you on his list? Are you on his list of people?
No, but he's got it set up so that it tweets where he is.
Why
do I care? You know?
Well,
I don't get the
– If you don't, no one does.
I don't get the whole location thing that people are so crazy about.
Look, I love technology as much as the – maybe more than the next guy. Mm-hmm. I really do. But I want to be less available, less findable. I haven't even transferred my email to my phone on purpose because I don't want to have – email bothering me when I'm, you know, running around or whatever I'm doing.
Kevin, a lot of people don't know this. Kevin has not answered a phone call
That's
since
true.
1990.
I rarely answer the phone. That's very true.
Very, very true.
So anyway, let us know how that goes, peeps.
Good times.
The first story that comes out about that is this dude.
Yep.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Super cool and sexy. Super sexy cool.
Okay. If you say so, I'm down with that. You ran into a celebrity you hate.
Oh, I love this so much.
You know how you build people up. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, even if they're cool, they don't quite reach, because you built them up to be a god in your mind. You know, they don't quite reach that level. But when they're a disappointment, that's good times.
Well, I think this topic is going to be about people. It's not that they're disappointed with the encounter with their celebrity. It's that they already dislike the celebrity, and then they come across that person.
Right, 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 right.
There's a show called Haters on the CW that does this. By the way, it has been canceled, but they're still airing the episodes. And tomorrow night, for instance, somebody, and I haven't seen the show, but somebody who hates Charles Barkley is going on and on and on about how much they hate Charles Barkley. Get him off my TV, and then they bring Charles Barkley in to talk to the guy, and that's what the show's about.
That's a terrible idea.
I know. That's what I thought, too. But that's the example. So, you know, we had an email from a listener whose girlfriend ran into Justin Bieber's mom and took the opportunity to give her thoughts on Justin Bieber. You know, that wasn't even the celebrity. That was the celebrity's mom, which seems like a dick move.
Yeah, I have doubts about that one. That's crazy.
But that's what we're going to talk about. Like, if I get on an airplane today and I'm sitting next to Dane Cook, how do I handle that? A guy that I hate, a guy that I've spent thousands of hours hating, silently seething. Do I say something or do I just ignore it?
You have built a life of hatred about
him. Do I chicken out because now it's in person, or do I go for it? Do I take this one opportunity to get it off my chest? This is what we're going to be discussing later today.
All right, that's coming up. We also have all of the different Halloween spook songs through the years. I didn't think we had very many, and mm-hmm. Bean started playing them for me yesterday. And, well, they're not good, don't get me wrong. But there's a lot of them.
You thought you hated Halloween spooks before. Wait till you hear this one.
I still do, by the way. I still hate that one. And we have a How Does the Story End today.
Oh, I'm so excited. Yeah. Looking forward to that.
And we have Vinny from Jersey Shore.
Yeah.
About a half hour.
Yeah, Vinny.
From Jersey Shore. Come on, Bean. Vinny.
No, Vinny.
Jersey Shore.
No, he's a talent.
Vinny.
He's exceptional.
Vinny, Jersey Shore. That's all I'm saying. We'll take a break, and we will and Breakfast with Coldplay, of course. We just mentioned that at about 7:30 this morning. We'll take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:52.
Breakfast. Hello.
Yep. Breakfast with Coldplay happening today here on the Kevin and Bean Show. That's at 7:30 today. Don't forget, you can watch it live. You can listen to it on the radio. You can also watch it live through KROQ.com. Very exciting. Vinny from the Jersey Shore comes up right after the top of the hour. In the meantime, filling in for Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. It's us, Kevin and Bean. Ralph will be back tomorrow. Don't fret. And you know how he likes to give you movie passes. We're going to continue the tradition. If you want to see The Rum Diary, it opens up on Friday the 28th. You can see it on Tuesday the 25th at the Arclight. What a cast this movie has. Johnny Depp, Aaron Eckhart, Amber Heard, Giovanni Ribisi. RumDiaryTheMovie.com is the website. If you want to go, call us now. 1-800-520-1067. We'll give away two pairs of passes right now from the world-famous K-Rock. Good luck.
It's a bizarre story. Did you watch the Johnny Depp special that had the Crypt Keeper interviewing him?
The Larry King CNN special? Yes, I did not see it, no.
He said that he was in the home of... Who's the guy that wrote Fear and Loathing in Las Vegas?
Hunter S. Thompson.
Yes. And that he had written this book, The Rum Diary,
right?
And it was just sitting around his house. He had never released it or anything.
And is Johnny Depp the one who said, hey, this is good, you should put it out?
First he said, hey, what's this? And Hunter S. Thompson said, well, it's a book that I wrote a long time ago, apparently. He started reading. He said, this is great.
Wow.
And then he told him he would try and make it with him. That would be their joint project. And then, you know.
Hunter S. Thompson.
Didn't want to stick around for that. But
He left. He left early.
Yes, he did. But he did it anyway.
Johnny Depp is crazy obsessed with Hunter S. Thompson. Remember, played him in that movie, The Fear and Loathing. And just was like one of his best friends. Paid for his funeral, even.
Yep. Ashton Kutcher, for those of you keeping score, and Demi Moore.
Yes, on or off?
Us Weekly says on.
On!
Well, no. Let me rephrase that. Us Weekly says not off. They didn't go so far as to say on, but he was at the Decade of Difference concert last Saturday night in the Hollywood Bowl for President Clinton's charity. And apparently he was still wearing his wedding band.
Oh.
So.
And we're looking for clues at this point?
That's correct. We need to know what's happening. So if you're paying attention with the home game, we think it's still on.
He changed his Facebook status to single.
Nope. Sorry, Snooki. We're saying he's still back with his wife.
We think.
I love this story so much. Amazon.com is being sued by an unnamed actress who was only identified as Jane Doe from Texas. Why? Because they published her actual age.
What?
Amazon owns IMDb. You know
oh,
that,
I didn't know that.
The website IMDb where you go to look up who's in movies and TV shows.
Right.
Well, they have a professional version of that that you can pay. IMDb is free, but they have a professional version with way more information on that you can pay as a subscription. She signed up for that, thinking it might help her in her business looking for work. She believes that credit card interception is the only way the company could have learned their real age. And she says Amazon's conduct, which means she believes they got her real age from her credit card information and then put it up at IMDb, changing the previous age that everybody thought she was. She said it is fraud and breach of contract in violation of Washington laws, which is where Amazon is. She believes they swiped her personal information after she used her credit card to buy the professional subscription to IMDb. And now she is suing. She says she's lost income and jobs because people now know how old she is.
Really?
However, they don't say it's anonymous. Like I said, she's filed as Jane Doe. So we don't know who the actress is, which is it's going to be the most fascinating game in Hollywood now is trying to figure out who this is that we thought was 34. It is actually 40.
Wow.
It has to be Dakota Fanning, right? Don't you guys agree?
I don't have any idea.
Haven't we been saying for years there's no way she's however old she says she is? She claims she's like 14. You see her interview, and she's got to be at least 40.
Yeah. And you've thought that every day since...
Every day since she was like six.
Yeah.
You've been, how old is this chick?
She's not six. No way.
So anyway, I just love this story so much. I can't wait to find out who it is, because eventually it will be revealed, I'm certain.
Courtney Love is... crazy, and a lot of people may not realize that, so they take stuff seriously. I don't know if she's serious or not when she says this. It sounds like something she would say just mouthing off, but she told Vanity Fair, and they reported it, that she's, quote, sick of dating people who are poorer than me. Doesn't that sound like a joke she'd make?
I don't know. I also believe that she wouldn't date anybody who wasn't at least rich or famous.
I really do.
She says, her dream is to find somebody with really great lawyers, preferably a member of the British aristocracy.
Okay.
So that sounds to me like something she would say as a joke. Vanity Fair didn't think it's a joke at all, and they're reporting it as, oh, can you believe this?
It is hard to know what to believe from Courtney, because she's crazy. Saturday Night Live, who I have been one of the few supporters of on this program over the years.
That's correct.
Has really been bad this season. I mean... unwatchably bad. This past weekend show with Anna Faris, there was maybe one decent sketch, and that was a tape piece that they did with Drake that was actually very, very funny.
Where does your patience come from for that show?
It's so because there are moments and there are characters every week, usually, that you go, okay, it was worth fast-forwarding through this show to get to it. I say all that to say I do have high hopes for some of the upcoming episodes as they continue to announce the schedule for this, their 36th season, I think, on the air on NBC. November 5th, for instance, Charlie Day from Horrible Bosses and It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia is going to be the host. He's very funny. Maroon 5 is a musical guest, so I'll be fast-forwarding through that. November 12th, Emma Stone comes back to host.
Oh, okay.
She did a fantastic job last time she was on, so I'm hoping she's going to be good. The musical act that night is a band called Coldplay.
Oh.
Looking forward
Never
to that.
Heard of them.
And then on the 23rd, Jason Segel, who, of course, we know from How I Met Your Mother and also from the upcoming Muppets movie with Florence and the Machine back as the musical guest. Like I said, I have high hopes. I don't know if it will pan out on paper. Looks like a pretty good month of November for Saturday Night Live.
Can I give you a bet whether it'll pan out on paper? Pan out like it is on paper?
Yes, you can.
Yes, I can. Steven Tyler says that he steals clothes from his daughter is my final story. Liv Tyler. He went to her, he loves her sense of style. He's the American Judge idol, of course. He went to her closet, found a shirt that she wears that he really liked and wore it for a month. My question is, he's wearing a shirt for a month?
Come on, have you seen Steven Tyler? That sounds about right.
But for a month?
He does dress like a crazy homeless lady, too. He looks like a crazy homeless lady.
And if you're a girl, how old is she now? She's 19, 20, 21?
No, she's way older than
that.
Oh,
older than that.
She's probably 30.
Should you have to fight your dad off from your clothes?
No.
That seems weird,
yeah,
right?
I don't know what the deal is there. Today's celebrity birthdays, how about Chuck Lorre, who usually is a behind-the-scenes producer, writer, television creator, but thanks to the lawsuits with Charlie Sheen and the back-and-forth words all the time, we got to know him pretty well, too. He's one of the most successful men in television, 59 years old today. Actor Jean-Claude Van Damme, 51 years old today. Neo turns 32. Actress Frida Pinto is So gorgeous. Yes. And 27 years old today. Dawn Wells, one of the surviving members of Gilligan's Island. Kevin, we've been to her home. She was Marianne on Gilligan's Island. She is 73 years old today. And Zac Efron turns 24. My sweet Zach, 24. Almost too old for me now. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
Loud.
Very, very. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show, and it is 7 minutes after six.
Breakfast with Coldplay happening on the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:30 today. Make sure you're logged into KROQ.com if you want to watch it, or you can, of course, just listen to it right here on the radio. Jersey Shore, Thursday nights, 10 o'clock, MTV. One of the biggest hits in television right now.
2001, number one series across all television with people 12 to 34. Last year, Jersey Shore ranked number one among all original cable series.
Yeah, insane. And Vinny is the only guy on the show that I like, so I'm actually glad that he's actually back on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hey, Vinny, how are you, man?
Hey, guys. Hi, L.A. How are you?
Very good, thank you.
Great to talk to you. Vinny, let me tell you, first of all, I said when I brought you, you're the only guy I like, and that's true. I hate these guys and gals that you live with. Hate them so much. But I'm disappointed in you, because how can you be doing interviews after you've slept with Snooki? Like, how would you ever want to talk to another human again after that and have to admit that to people?
Well, if you ask me questions about it, you'll see why. Basically, that wasn't one of my proudest moments. And when you're cooped up in the house like that and you're cut off from the world, crazy stuff happens. It wasn't pleasurable. I didn't, I didn't like it. She didn't like it. It was like a freak thing that
no one liked it.
Nah, it was a glitch in the matrix. I erased it from my mind.
I guess it's got to be. And by the way, guys have a different line too of women.
Right.
Women they'll sleep with
any port in the storm after a while.
Well,
yeah,
if you're laying in bed and a girl crawls into bed with you, your line goes way down.
Of course it does. Of course it does. So you admit it was a horrible idea. You're not proud of it. You wish it had never happened, and you try to erase it from your mind every waking moment. Right.
Well, not to wish that never happened. Like, I try not to live with any regrets, but just like you said, when you're laying there and then it just literally falls onto your lap.
Yeah.
As a man, sometimes you're like, all right, whatever.
What am I going to do?
Now, we saw some of the fallout from that on the show, but what was it like the next morning when you woke up and realized that it happened? Could you, not even look each other in the eyes?
It wasn't even that bad because, it was only like a 2 second thing, you know what I mean?
I wouldn't admit that either. What's wrong with you?
I'm as real as it gets, bro. I'll tell you whatever you want.
It was 2 seconds.
That is the best.
it was whack, and it was it wasn't even enough to regret.
Oh, that's hilarious. All right, we have such a limited amount of time, but we have to ask, and I know it's weird for you to be talking about things that we're now seeing on the air, even though you filmed them months ago, but it seems like everybody hates the situation now. Like, he's had problems with every single person in the house, and you guys can't stand the sight of him. Has that improved at all, Vinny?
No, well, the thing is, he's been like that forever. Not a lot of people have seen it, but now we've lived with each other so much that all his quarrels are coming out with each cast member. Not really with me and Paulie, but we just don't like drama. I don't like drama, period. So
right.
I just tend to stay away from him because he attracts a lot of stress, you know what I mean, and drama. Not that I have any problems with them, but the girls, Dina, Snooki, Jenny, they're all Ronnie, they're all Sammy, everybody, they're all throwing objects, trying to punch him in the face.
Sweet. Sure. When you look back on it, is it one of the funniest things that's ever happened in your life when he ran headfirst into a wall?
It was one of the funniest and also one of the best moments of my life.
You are going to have memories forever, Vinny. So you guys,
not gonna lie, watching it was pretty scary.
Of course, we couldn't believe it was real. I mean, it was just so insane. It was like, who would think of that? So you guys filmed in Italy and then flew immediately back to the States and just started filming again in the house. You got no break from each other between what will be these seasons, right?
No break whatsoever.
Well, here's what I like is that this past week was the second to last. Your season finale is this Thursday night at 10 on MTV. And everybody seemed to be getting along until you spoke up.
I'm going into my room back in Jersey, and I'm putting my bag there, and that's my room.
And that's who are you to say that's your room?
How is that not my room? Tell me.
For me, I don't think upstairs is a good place for me anymore, and to go downstairs would be easier on me.
Switch with somebody else. That's my room. I want to keep my room.
I'm thinking, like, let's come up with some kind of compromisation on this room, and Vin is just being a complete little bitch.
Oh, Vin, you're being a complete little bitch.
What a bitch. I can't believe she said that. Let me tell you something about that.
Do you ever watch the shows?
Yeah, I watch. I didn't even see that episode. All right. Oh, there. I didn't even see the finale yet.
You're being a little bitch, apparently. Did you know that?
Listen, Ronnie and Sammy, they could have taken that room last year and been together, but they wanted the room upstairs, so they got stuck with Mike. And now she wants to steal me and Paulie's room that we had last year. So I'm like, I just wanted to clarify it.
Don't give in, man. Jersey. Don't give in.
You'll see. All
right. I love that you have the same problems people have when they're six. That's what I love about this show. All right, Vinny, you're the best, man. Jersey Shore airs Thursday nights at 10 on MTV. Thanks a lot for coming on. Always great to catch up with you on the Kevin DeBean Show.
Peace out, guys.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 20 minutes after 6.
Now, why are we playing that song when they're going to be performing it live in an hour on the Breakfast with Marcy Playground?
No, it's not Marcy Playground.
We're doing the Marcy Playground thing. Now we're blowing their biggest hit right here before they get here.
About an hour from now, we're doing Breakfast with Coldplay.
Oh, that's right. It was Coldplay. I'm
not
sorry.
Marcy Playground.
I get those two confused all the time. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Yes, Breakfast with Coldplay is a very big deal. We're very excited to have them there. The album is coming out in less than a week. They are back and better than ever. So we'll be interviewing them, and it'll be streaming on KROQ.com. You can listen on the radio, and they'll be performing live. It's going to be awesome.
It really is. It's time for a new feature that we like to call...
How does the story end, my friend? How does the story end?
The sensitive side of Omar.
It really is. And I like the fact that you're friends after three words.
Right.
He doesn't know you. How does the story end? That's the name of this feature. And it involves our intern, Danny. Now, Danny told us this the other day in the office, and we were floored by it. Okay. It was the most funny thing that we've ever seen in our lives. So I'm going to play you the beginning of the video.
Okay.
And then I'm going to ask you how the story ends.
Okay, because I wasn't there, so I don't know anything about this.
Here we go.
For University of Southern California student Danielle, the beginning of her sophomore year was an exciting time as she prepared for the rigorous routine of her studies. But the start of this school year would turn out to be anything but routine.
All right, anything but routine.
How does the story end?
She's excited. She was trying to get into the routine, but this year would turn out to be anything but routine.
Now, is this a news piece?
Yes.
Danny was on the news?
Oh, yeah.
Ripley's Believe It or Not.
Ripley's... why don't you let me fill in the blanks here, Muggs?
He's on Oprah! His own show. Wait, Danny was on Oprah?
Yes.
What?
Why would you say that?
Sorry.
All right, so it wasn't small.
No!
Clue one. So my question to you is...
How does the story end?
I have no... I mean, you're not giving me very much to go on. She was planning on studies as usual, but something happened that derailed that.
All right, I'm going to give you a little bit more.
I mean, I do have one theory, but I'm
going to give you a little bit more.
Okay, all right.
Because believe it or not, Danielle fell out of a window.
All right, Danielle fell out of a window.
Oh, my God. I had flesh-eating bacteria, so I was way wrong.
Mm. So now you got that. You got fell out of a window.
How does this story end?
Something else happened that got her on Oprah.
It didn't have anything to do with falling out of the window?
It did. But the story isn't over, and I'm asking you what comes after she fell out of the window.
She landed on and killed a pedestrian.
That would be funnier. What I have to apologize for is that is the video camera held up to the television. I couldn't get a better version of this story than that. So, second year, USC.
All right.
Falls out of a window.
Okay.
And you think killed someone.
Hits a pedestrian and kills a pedestrian and now is grief-stricken and cannot continue.
How does the story end?
Worse.
Worse than killing a pedestrian.
Ready?
Yeah. And was skewered upside down on two steel security bars.
All right. So I don't know if you remember this or not, Bean, but there was the student at USC that fell out of the second story window and landed on the fence, skewering her. So now she's upside down with two steel bars from the fence going into her ass. Do you remember that story? I sort of did after I watched the piece.
I don't.
What year was it, Danny?
That was 01, I think.
01.
2000, 2001.
So it's been a while.
Hi, Danny. Nice to meet you.
Hey, how you doing?
Can I see your ass? Are there scars?
Sure.
She has scars. She shows them on the piece.
Oh, wow. How did you fall out of...
Oh, I got the wave off. Put the ass in your pants.
How did you fall out of the window?
I am that clumsy.
Really? Were you just...
I do have a cast on right now. I think this is a testament to my inability to walk straight or perhaps stand near windows and not fall out.
How do you fall out of a window?
How do you fall out of a window?
Well, I was on my bed putting up posters and the window was open because it was hot. It happens sometimes.
Sure.
And I sat down and just lost my balance. And instead of going into the wall or the floor, I just hit the window and kept going.
Oh, my God. Okay. And how many stories up?
Two stories.
So you land on the fence.
Yes, I did.
Now you're hanging...
upside down.
Upside down by your ass.
By my ass.
And it took a long time for them to get help, right? You had some football players come by and help. What happened?
Well, I started screaming and some football players came out. This is about 1 a.m, by the way. So everybody was just yelling, shut up. We're trying to drink here. Shut up. So, yeah, so these guys eventually come out, and they hold me up on the fence until the firefighters come and assess the situation. And they're actually the ones that tell me that I'm stuck on both sides, in both cheeks, and that I'm going to look like a bowling ball butt for the rest of my life. And they took about half an hour, 45 minutes, to get me off the side of the building.
I know this isn't the point, and I know you'll accuse me of being creepy, but it's 1 o'clock in the morning, and you're a co-ed at USC. What are you wearing at this point?
That would be T-shirt and boxers.
Oh, okay. All right.
I still have the boxers.
Not how you... Do they have holes through them?
Yes, they do.
Wow.
Yes,
they do.
Wall? So she was on Ripley's Believe It or Not when that TV show was on because of this, and then she ended up on the Oprah show.
Why did they have you on the Oprah show? Were they doing
because
dumbasses
I
around the
survived.
World? Because no, I survived.
Because I survived. That was the segment. That was the segment.
Ah.
Kevin won't remember this, but the almost exact same thing happened to my mother.
What?
She was skewered on a metal fence that went through her abdomen and was told she would never be able to have children. It was almost exact. She didn't fall out of a building. She was thrown from a horse. But it almost the exact same thing happened where they actually cut out a piece of the fence and took her to the emergency room with the fence going through her.
Let's let Danny tell us what happened then.
So the fire department shows up and they decide that I'm too stuck on the fence for them just to take me off. And so they cut the whole thing off the side of the building and carry me on
it's a stretcher. There it is. So you went to a hospital with a fence in your ass.
With the fence attached to me still, yes.
Oh, my God. Hey, how were you in shock and it hurt worse or in shock so it didn't hurt as much?
So I was pretty lucid the whole time.
Oh, no.
And the biggest concern that I had was, can somebody move my car so I don't get a ticket?
Sure. How long were you in the hospital?
That should not have been your most important thought.
I asked them, okay, am I paralyzed? Can you move your feet? Yeah. Okay, well, can somebody move my car? And I was in the hospital just overnight.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's it?
Yep.
So did that prevent you from going on with your school year?
No. I was actually in the Navy ROTC at the time, and I had about 2 weeks to recover. And then they said, get out and run or you can't be in the Navy anymore.
Wow. I like the Navy.
So but right back on the horse.
Put up with this.
Yeah.
Love it.
So the first day I went out and they said, okay, go run 2 miles. And I said, you know, I have 26 stitches in my ass right now. Work it out.
So work it out. Sweet. So anyway, she's accident prone.
I am.
She fell out of a second story window at USC and landed on a fence and was skewered.
That is quite a first date story. That's a nice one to have in your back pocket at a party, right?
Well, anytime want to just, you know, take out your ass and have a reason for it, it's as good a reason as any.
Yeah.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. And it is 6:36. We don't have time.
Are you kidding
for
me?
This song.
It's because the season.
It's Breakfast with Gold.
Halloween spooks, man. Ooh, ooh, sing it if you know it. Halloween spooks outside my window. Here's an email I got yesterday from Kevin and Bean listener Zach, who writes, I listened to the podcast, and I'm a little bit behind, but I just heard the first Halloween Spooks playing of the season.
Yep.
I had forgotten how great
that is.
Oh, it's interesting, because he wrote how great a song that is.
Right, but with irony.
I must have looked like a small child or one of Kevin's people, giddily clapping my hands and smiling as I drove down the freeway this morning. Hope to hear many more airings in the coming days and weeks.
Nope.
Halloween Spooks behind the tree. I wish that the children could see, but I can't find them for the life of me.
Can't find the children.
Halloween
oh, no.
Spooks
Now, we started playing the Halloween spooks here on the Kevin and Bean Show. I don't know.
Turn this up for 1 second. This is the part that it makes me want to punch him in the face. Okay, back to you.
They're playing spooks.
All right, they're so scary,
they're
too.
They're big ghosts.
Wow, am I scared.
I don't know how many years ago we started playing it, but it has become a little bit of a tradition here on the Kevin Beats. So for a lot of people, it's not Halloween. Oh, here's your
turn it up. That's someone gargling. How's that scary?
For a lot of people, it's not Halloween.
Wait.
This was a little free-spirited jazz riff that they came up with in the early 1960s,
right.
By the way.
This is why I don't play this. I would never play this song.
So for a lot of people, Halloween spooks means the holidays. But you know what's funny? And I don't think we play it nearly often enough, is it wasn't just Halloween spooks. There was a time Spooks Mania happened here on the Kevin and Bean Show, and we were doing spooks for everything, including Thanksgiving, if you recall.
Thanksgiving. Turkey things are gonna happen.
And that's our man Omar who made that magic. Groundhog Day came around.
Groundhog Day. Winter predictions are gonna happen.
That's absurdly bad.
I don't know why we were celebrating Chinese New Year 1 year.
Chinese New Year. Asian things are gonna happen.
Can I say why? We were doing that because you realized I hated it.
Is that what it was?
And when somebody's dumb enough to tell the room that they hate something, then they get tortured with
it. Here's one we only get to hear once every 4 years.
Leap year, only beer. Yeah. One extra day is gonna happen.
Beer mug, here's one for you and your people.
Cinco de Mayo. Lowrider Raider things are going to happen.
See, now, I'd like to suggest that these versions are great because they're 7 seconds long.
No, I got the whole song. I'm just giving you the opening line here.
No, they're good.
Speaking of every 4 years.
Beijing Olympic Games. Track and field, gymnastics, swimming things are going to happen.
I don't even remember that one at all.
I don't either. Did we play it?
I'm sure we must have if Omar did it. Here's one that's not even a holiday.
Megan Fox. Big bulgy things are going to happen.
Wow. Apparently big bulgy things are going to happen. Now, bear in mind before you hear this next one that they're all a takeoff on Halloween spooks. Spooks meaning ghosts.
Right,
that's what the parody is. People are doing blank spooks. So don't write an angry worded letter when you hear this one.
Martin Luther King.
Junior.
Equality is going to happen.
I like that he goes, Junior.
I don't know
I don't think we've aired that one, by the way.
How we started getting involved in some of the other ones I have here.
Psycho Mike's birthday. Ooh, Psycho Mike's birthday.
They all came from you.
Arrogant things are happening.
All right, so then, as we review the magic that is Halloween Spooks and its sequels, then listeners started getting into the game and started calling up and leaving their own Spooks songs on the Afro line.
Victor Fuentes! 1612-1! Hello!
I love that one. Do you guys remember the Big Booty Bitches?
Big Booty Bitches, outside my window!
Sure.
Behind the tree.
So we started getting that one. Other cast members on the Kevin and Bean Show also got their own on the Afro line.
Day of the King of Mexico. Lazy things are gonna happen.
People start calling it with TV shows like The Walking Dead.
Walking Dead. Zombie things are gonna happen.
Apparently zombie things are gonna happen. You remember the feature, What Did You Do?
Outside my window. What did you do? Beyond the tree.
Yeah. How about Shaka Road? Remember Shaka Road?
Oh, Shaka Road. Incoherent things are gonna happen. It's as if Kevin recorded his own song.
How dare you?
Outside my window.
So I think you can see we have a long tradition of enjoying the Halloween spooks here on the Kevin Beach.
That's a terrible idea.
How dare you? You can always call Leave Your Own, too, at 323-520-AFRO. We got the Showbiz Beat coming up next here on the Kevin Beach.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 6:51.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday. Looking ahead toward tomorrow's show, by the way, our friend, writer, director, actor, Kevin Smith is going to be joining us in studio. Dr. Drew on the show later this week. Actress Lake Bell, who, of course, we know from Children's Hospital. She's in that How to Make It in America show. Tim Armstrong is going to be in studio from Rancid.
Awesome.
And Joe Levy, the editor of Maxim Magazine. All of that coming up this week on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is out for a couple days. He's back home in Philadelphia. He'll be back tomorrow filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour. Ladies and gentlemen, DJ Omar Khan.
Yeah, yeah.
DJ Omar Khan.
What's happening, y'all?
How are you, O?
Good, man. And I come bearing gifts. If you guys want to see Johnny Depp in the new Rum Diary, you get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of The Rum Diary on Tuesday, October 25th. Caller 20 now goes. It is in theaters Friday, October 28th.
DJ Omar Khan.
Did you guys hear that Sesame Street YouTube's channel got hacked?
I did hear about that.
They hacked and they put nothing but hardcore pornography for about 20 minutes yesterday.
That's just not appropriate
for
the kids.
Featuring the Cookie Monster, right?
No, it wasn't the Cookie Monster.
That would have been
Cookie
funny.
Monster was doing other things. A couple of titles reportedly on the page were Doomy Elmo, I Have Big Bird in My Pants,
DJ Omar Khan,
Oscar the Grouch Likes It in the Can, okay. And my personal favorite, Stuffer Snuffleupagus, Volume 2.
Volume 2?
Volume 2, oh. Yeah. I saw Volume 1. It wasn't as good as Volume 2.
All right.
Go to TMZ.com right now. On the top page, you could see Shia LaBeouf getting punched in the head.
Dude.
I guess this video is from about a week ago outside a Vancouver bar. And you could tell Shia has a couple of them in him.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
He's like stumbling all over, but the video starts with Shia on the ground and he's getting knocked the out.
Really?
It is insane. Like he can't do it. He could barely like, you know, put his hands to cover up his face.
What happened?
It's like he would have tapped out if he could have. They don't know exactly what happened, but the two gentlemen got kicked out of the bar,
uh-huh.
And then that's when the video picks up, him on the ground getting just pummeled.
Wow.
It's insane. So not good times for Shia LaBeouf, apparently.
Not.
Soulja Boy.
Who tell did, him.
Soulja Boy, I'm in it. Oh. Why me crack it? Why me roll? Why me crack that Soulja Boy? That Superman? That oh. Now why me crack that Soulja? Now why me you 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 crack that Soulja? Now why?
He got busted early this morning in Georgia for weed possession. Come on, can't Soulja Boy have a little weed on him?
Yes, he can.
What the heck is wrong with
being for musicians?
Soulja Boy, tell him he got. I guess reportedly he got found with a ton of weed and cash during the arrest. They got stopped for a moving violation, and then the cops were like, "They had a ton of weed, man. What the heck is going on?
Must have been packed from the floor to the ceiling."
Yeah, seriously.
When are they going to stop arresting people for having weed on them?
That's bogus, dude. That's bogus. It's ridiculous.
The resources that they spend on something like that.
No, it's ridiculous.
But if you don't mind my saying, as long as the law is this way. Don't drive down the road
with a ton of weed.
With a ton of weed,
yeah.
And then don't speed if you're going to drive with the weed.
That
I mean,
is
come
true.
On.
Yeah,
what
for sure.
is wrong with you people?
In TV news, did you guys see The Walking Dead?
Yes,
I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, dude, it was
yes.
awesome, and they did really well in the ratings. They pulled in a 7.3 million viewers and 11 million total viewers for the night.
Wow,
isn't that's that insane?
No,
so,
crazy.
Yeah, that's actually the most watched drama in the history of basic cable.
How about that?
So good for, you know, I like, you know, to see, you know, good shows, you know, getting watched because it's
rewarded,
insane.
Yeah.
So good.
I really wanted to see it, but I mean, I know Sundays are the biggest TV night and that's why they put so many good shows on Sundays, but you already have Dexter, you already have Boardwalk Empire.
There's Homeland.
There's Homeland,
yeah.
The Walking
yeah,
Dead.
Yeah, I guess they should
like,
kind of like spread
night.
It out.
Yeah,
yeah
spread
for sure.
it out. Give me something on Fridays.
Yeah, you're right.
And this Walking Dead was an hour and a half, too, so you have the extra time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, for sure.
It, but it was great.
Also, more good TV news. Marlon Wayans is coming back to TV.
Wait,
are you guys excited?
You said more good.
More good. Marlon Wayans is coming to TV. Deadline.com reports that Marlon is writing and starring in a new sitcom about two brothers who are both cops, one who is married and the other one moves in with him because he can't make it on his own, and hilarity ensues.
Nope.
Do they pretend to be white girls?
I'm sure that happens. I'm sure that's going to happen.
Nope.
I'm sure the other brother's going to be one of his brothers.
Nope.
And Justin Biebs.
Oh, what's going on with the Bieber?
Oh, can you cue up a little Dick Clark for me?
Besides the fact that his new Christmas song Mistletoe hits
God,
iTunes
okay,
today.
Okay, hold on. I'll get to that. But Justin Bieber just got added to the Dick Clark New Year's Rockin' Eve. Lady Gaga is also going to perform. It's going to be the 40th anniversary of Dick Clark's annual Rockin' Ball.
This is what everybody's been waiting for.
Oh, I sure hope
and
they put him on TV.
Oh, they definitely will. If he's celebrating his 40th anniversary, you know he's going to be there. But I just can't wait for that countdown.
The countdown is the best.
Do you guys have that?
Oh, You know, a little bit of a heads up.
Sorry, my bad, my bad, my bad.
Because that countdown is really...
It's spectacular.
Yeah. So if you guys... let's count it down.
There we go.
50, 40, 12, 10, 11, 10, what? 9.
He just loses it.
He's the best.
Here's a better one.
Let's count it down. 20, 19, 16, 17, 9, 12, 10, 4, 14. Happy New Year. 7, 6, 8, 11, 18, 5, 3, 2, 20. Happy New Year.
And then he slobbers all over his wife, dude. You remember? He's like, a bunch of drool coming down everywhere.
Tries to gum her to death.
But Biebs needs to be stopped. Okay,
why do you say that?
I know you love the Christmas music and you're a believer, but he's covering Santa Claus is Coming to Town, and I guess he has that new Mistletoe track that's coming out today on iTunes. Mm-hmm. But listen to this, and you cannot tell me that this is good music.
You actually have some? Because I haven't heard any of the Bieber Christmas album yet.
Behind the scenes doing Santa Claus is Coming to Town.
Let me hear some of this.
Santa Claus is coming to town. You better watch out. You better not cry.
Crap.
That is not that good, is it?
That's crap.
It really isn't very good.
Crap.
Wait a minute. I'm without Omar. It's crap. But Bean, you were looking forward. What did you expect from Bieber?
I think he has some really, really good songs. But he generally, I think, sings better than that. What I just heard in that clip right there. Is that actually from the record or is that a
making of? That's not from the record.
Thing?
That's a making of behind the scenes. But it blows.
It did not sound good.
He's not good.
I got Bieber fever.
You got to stop being a believer, man. Seriously.
Right. I think you're fighting a losing battle.
I guess so. Celebrity birthdays. Jean-Claude Van Damme is 51. R&B singer Neo, 32. Fita Pinto is 27. And Zac Efron's 24.
All right, there you go.
DJ Omar Khan.
That's the show.
106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it's 6 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Breakfast with Coldplay, kids.
Yeah, but not right now. Half hour.
A half hour from right now.
Right.
Kevin and Bean's latest breakfast is Breakfast with Coldplay. It is happening less than 30 minutes from right now from the brand new Red Bull Sound Space right here at K-Rock. You can listen to it on the radio. The band is going to be performing live, answering our questions, answering listener questions, also performing live. Obviously, the new album comes out next Monday. You can also watch it through KROQ.com, live webcast, see the entire thing today. So that's going to be getting underway here in just a few minutes on the Kevin and Bean Show. Very excited. We've been lucky enough to have Coldplay on a few times over the years, and they're always so much fun. So this should be cool coming up.
Yeah, they seem to actually enjoy sometimes the interview process, right, which a lot of bands don't enjoy much.
All right. Speaking of things that America doesn't enjoy, there's a television show called Haters on the CW that has already been canceled. Why?
All right.
Why? Maybe because Mario Lopez is the host, but the idea is at least an interesting one. Here's Mario to explain what it's all about.
America loves their celebrities, but we also love to hate them. Everywhere you look, you see it in the tabloids, online chat rooms, blogs, and most people do it anonymously, so somehow they think that makes it okay.
Well, it does make it okay. I mean, that's why the internet is awesome.
That's because you get away with it, right?
Say whatever you want and people don't know who you are. It's the anonymity of it. But what this concept of the show is about is the celebrities come face to face with the people who hate them. For instance, tomorrow night there's an episode with Charles Barkley. Now, who could hate Charles Barkley?
Well, unless it's like somebody that's rooting for an opposing team that he was playing against. I don't know.
But now he's so awesome on TV.
I think so, too.
Right? Like, who could love...
That's a terrible idea.
I agree, Chuck. But so what they're going to do is they're going to have sports fans on, I assume, who are going to be trash-talking Charles Barkley. Oh, that guy's fat, or oh, he's a big, you know, got a big mouth. He doesn't know what he's talking about. He ruins the broadcast. And then Charles Barkley's going to walk into the room, and they're going to have to talk to him face-to-face.
Yeah.
So that's the concept of the show. Like I said, apparently America did not love it. It has already been canceled. But it does bring up an interesting idea. What do you do if you really actively despise a famous person, and then you come face-to-face with them?
Yeah, and it's when you come face-to-face with them, it's not because you tracked them down. We're not looking for you. If you track them down, we don't want your calls. But if you came face-to-face with a celebrity that you hate, what do you do? Like, I came face-to-face with Fred Schneider from the B-52s.
Who's awesome, by the way.
Look, I know Love Shack was one of the biggest songs of all time. I understand that. But Love Shack, baby! It drove me crazy. And one day there was a knock at the back door of the studio, of the station. And I went and got it, and there was Fred Schneider. We didn't have an interview with him scheduled or anything, and I was totally flummoxed because you know, if it's a surprise, who goes, hey, I don't like you?
Right.
No one.
Well, this is what I was thinking. And the example that I gave earlier today is,
look, I've spent 40% of my adult life hating Dane Cook. I mean, when you don't see me and you don't know where I am and what I'm doing, I'm sitting in my house hating Dane Cook. That's what I'm doing. Okay. If I got on an airplane today and Dane Cook was sitting next to me, what do I do? Do I have an obligation to say something to him, or do I mind my own business and keep it to myself? Is there any reason to address the person? I mean, look, the celebrity's got a lot of fans. The celebrity also has a lot of people who don't like him.
Right.
But you don't have any moral responsibility to share your opinion with that celebrity. Or are you the type of person who just can't stand to have had that opportunity and not taken advantage of it?
The only person that I have formulated a plan for was O.J. Simpson during the trial and all that. That's the only person I said, if I run into him, I'm going to have to say something. But for everyone else, so let's say you get on the plane with Dane Cook. He's not doing anything. You don't like him. And it's a completely different thing to be sitting next to that person or in that person's presence and be able to say something and then to realize, oh, I'm just going to be a total a-hole if I say anything. Like, I wouldn't think you would bring it up.
I don't think I would either.
If he would started talking to you, maybe then you would have to share your feelings with him.
If he said to me, how hilarious am I?
Right.
Seriously, look at my stand-up. Am I funny or what?
Is anyone funnier than me? But that's not going to happen either. So what do you do when you run into a celebrity you hate? Now, I'm guessing most of you are nice and probably wouldn't say anything unless provoked.
Because if it's a celebrity you like, I think most people do the same thing, which is shake their hand and tell them you're a big fan of their work or ask for a photo and autograph or something like that. I mean, you have a protocol for somebody you admire. When it's somebody that you don't, what would you do? 1-800-520-1067. What have you done? Did you ignore that person or did you go up and talk to that person, have a conversation with them? Because if you're doing that, are you just a dick for doing that?
Yes.
Because otherwise, why?
I think you are. But remember Omar, how he used to love Tim Allen?
Right.
Remember that?
Right.
He loved Tim Allen. And we did nothing but just harass him. We made fun of him. We mocked him every time there was something about Tim Allen on. Because he's, you know, come on. It was after Home Improvement show. It was during his Santa Claus movies and stuff. We were like, really? You still like him? So we gave him a hard time. And Omar showed up at a thing with a nephew. And he was there. And he tried to get an autograph. And Tim Allen wouldn't do it. So that's an active snub.
So did Omar turn on Tim Allen?
Oh, yeah.
So what happens next time they run into each other?
Oh, he's going to throw down. Tim Allen will not be safe.
It's going to be flamethrower time.
I don't know, but he took a lot of crap for it. And then Tim Allen turned around and said, I don't know, something insulting that he said to him about his nephew not getting an autograph.
So. All right, let's take Andrew real quick. He is on line 4, 1-800-520-1067. You ran into a famous person that you did not like. What did you do? Did you ignore him or did you talk to him? And what was the consequence of your decision? Andrew, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. What's going on, man?
Well, hey, I was in college. This is about 12 years ago or so. I was actually 15. We're at Starbucks on Sunset, and I run into, well, not run into, but we're going in with a friend, and out comes Shannon Doherty from Beverly Hills 90210.
Okay. Now, what was your opinion of her at that time?
Yeah, it's not terribly favorable. I don't really have too much against her, but as I'm walking in, I kind of inadvertently let slip to my friend. I goes, hey, there goes that bitch Shannon Doherty.
Wait, did you say it loud enough for her to hear?
I did, and she turned and looked at me and said, F you, and kept stomping. Oh, I kind of felt a little too bad about that, but now, well, it is what it is.
It is what it
Why do you think you said it so loud that she could hear it? I mean, was that intentional?
No, not really. You know, I'm pretty indifferent. It's 90210. I'm not a fan or anything, but it's, you know, it just one of those things that just let slip too soon, and
yeah.
She was too close for comfort.
But so after the fact, and I'm glad you called, Andrew, we do appreciate it, but after the fact, didn't you think, hey, maybe I'm not a fan of her acting or whatever, I don't like her show, but was it really necessary for her to hear me call her a bitch? Did you kind of regret it?
Yes and no.
Would you like to apologize to her right now? She's outside your room.
After seeing Mallrats, I'm not 100% convinced.
All right. Okay.
All right, Andrew. Thank you for the call. 1-800-520-1067. You get to be on Haters. You ran into a celebrity that you don't like. Did you say something to them? How did it go?
Well, Chris Martin, tell us about your new album.
Well, take your calls and then Breakfast with Coldplay coming right up on the Kevin and We are talking to you about you could not resist. You hate a celebrity. You had the opportunity to talk to that celebrity in person and you took it. 1-800-520-1067. Let's try, we got some good ones here. Let's try Erico. Is that a name? Erico on line 4?
I believe it is. Hey, Erico.
Hey, Kevin A. Bean.
All right, dude, what happened?
All right, this is with the Asian guy from Harold and Kumar.
John Cho.
Hey! Okay, yeah, whatever. Well, he was on the show. I forgot what it was called. It was on the WB. And he had a character named Chow before.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I actually liked the character. I liked the guy. I thought he was funny. And one day, driving around my neighborhood, he was driving right next to me. And I guess maybe because I was too focused on looking at him or whatever, my car probably swerved into his.
What? This is so not what we were asking you to call about, but what happened?
No, listen. So anyway, my car almost swerved into his. He looked at me, and I was all smiling because I was happy to see him. And he looked at me and just flipped me right off.
Well, he was right. You were the a-hole.
I know. I'm sorry. But either way, it just pissed me off because, I was happy to see him. And that's not what I was expecting.
Right, but anyway. The answer to I'm happy to see you is not to run your car into my lane.
I know. I just got excited. It was my fault. But anyway, just a month ago, I see him in Koreatown sitting with some chick eating. And just to get it off my chest, I couldn't help it. I finally went up to him. And I just yelled, F you, Chow.
See, this is why Errico is the best, because I thought when he said it was my chance, I was going to walk up to him and say, hey, sorry about almost running you off the road.
It was my fault.
Wow.
You broke my heart. And
how did he break your heart? Because you're an a-hole. All right, Errico, get off my phone. Kevin, you brought up O.J. Simpson. Courtney ran into O.J. Simpson, who's one of those figures that a lot of people have a lot to say. Courtney, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. What'd you do?
Hey there. I ran into O.J. Simpson in Hollywood a few years after the trial, and I mean, I hated him for all the obvious reasons, and I just hated him because he basically dominated the media my entire sixth grade year.
Right, you're tired of the whole coverage.
Yeah, I mean, come on, man. So we look over, we're eating dinner, and I'm like, oh my God, that's O.J. Simpson. And like racing through my mind are just like all these great things that I could say. And you know, we're like, oh man, you know, like we should just not talk to that guy at all. And then sure enough, we're like, or we should maybe go get a picture. Like just this gaggle of stupid girls. And we're just like, hey, excuse me, Mr. Simpson, could we get a picture with you?
You were blinded by celebrity is what happened.
Exactly. So not kidding, we sent out a Christmas card of like the 12 of us and O.J. Simpson.
Oh my God. Hey, you're a white woman. You're lucky you didn't get killed, dude. Seriously.
The whole time afterwards, I was just like, why did I do that?
Why did you do that? All right. Thank you very much for the call. Let's try Patrick. He's on line 7, joining us here on the Kevin DeBean Show, talking about that awkward moment where you run into the celebrity that you already hate. Do you take advantage and tell them? Patrick, welcome to the show. What happened?
Yeah, good morning, guys.
Hi.
I was on Monster Garage a few years back with Jesse James.
Right.
And, you know, I really respected the guy. Really enjoyed watching the show for a couple of years. Finally had the chance to get on it. And, you know, just through the entire week, he was just a real a-hole, you know, just completely came in late. It was just wasn't really involved with the whole build, just didn't really want to be part of the team. I don't know. It just.
All right. What happened? Like, what happened, Patrick? We're almost out of time.
Well, pretty much basically what ended up happening at the end of the show, he took off and we all wanted to approach him because the show ended. He basically forced the ending of the show into a bad way. And so we wanted to approach him, talk to him about it, see what the deal was. And he ended up having his little midget buddy body drop come up and tell us, hey, you know, your build failed, da-da-da. And so what we wanted to do, we went back and we were going to talk to him. And he wasn't there, so we ended up leaving a letter for him saying, hey, this is
all right.
You're I know you think you're making sense. But again,
we invited these people to call. Why?
But not at all what we were. He liked Jesse James and then had a bad experience with Jesse James. That's completely different than I didn't like Jesse James and ran into him.
Come on, Chip. Do some phone screening, goddammit. Let's try Martha real quick, line 2. Martha, welcome to the Kevin DeBean Show. And by the way,
I had an experience where I really liked somebody and ran into them and then didn't like them.
Okay, then let's hang up on you as well. Why don't we close with Ray? He's line 3. At least Martha was smart enough to realize
she
wasn't what we were looking for.
She fell on her own sword.
Breakfast with Coldplay next on the Kevin DeBean Show. But first, Ray, what's your story, dude?
Okay, so I actually did not like, and I'm a chick, by the way.
Okay.
I did not like Keanu Reeves when I met him, and I was having lunch with my friend, and he was there, and so my friend totally just sold me out and said, you know, Keanu, she does not think you're a good actor.
Your friend rules.
Oh, I mean, I was just like egg on my face, my mouth like on the floor. And so all I could do was just cop to it. I was like, you know, yeah, that's true. And he's like, really? You're going to sit here and tell me that? And I said, well, you know, to be in all fairness, I've seen every one of your movies.
It wasn't my plan, but my friend forced me into it.
How embarrassing exactly. That your friend threw you under the bus, though, because you were going to be content to just sit there and not say anything to him, but she forced you to talk to him.
Right. I was happy being, you know, all stargazing. Wow, this is Keanu. And then... totally burned me out like that.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what's weird. Let me tell you what's weird, Ray. I'm glad you called. I appreciate that story because when I ran into Keanu Reeves and I was not a fan of his at all, I pretty much did the same thing. I remember.
Well, right, but we were on the air.
Remember what a good actor I told him he was, though? You remember that whole conversation?
No, you told him that he was the worst.
Well,
hold on a second.
I have the tape here. My memory is that I could not have been more complimentary.
Many people believe, I'm one of them, that you are the worst actor of your generation. Is this some way to wash?
Have you
the bad...
seen River's Edge? Have you seen Tune In Tomorrow or Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure?
You know what I saw? I saw Dracula, Much Ado About Nothing, and Little Buddha. That's all I've seen. I got to be honest. Maybe it's not your best work.
Yo, you didn't like Little Buddha?
Well, I didn't think you were good in it.
Breakfast with Coldplay coming up next on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Look at the stars, look how they shine. Thanks for coming, everybody. So long.
No, it's not over. It's not done.
Oh, I thought we were done.
No, we're not done.
That was, hey, can you guys hear us okay? Can you guys hear us? That was ridiculously good for 7:30 in the morning, you guys.
Oh, we've been up for like 4 hours getting ready for this.
Seriously. No, welcome sorry. Back. How, what's your relationship like with that song now? With Yellow, now that you've been playing it for more than 10 years, is it one that you still are excited about? You still enjoy it?
I think we see it as kind of one of our biggest blessings. You know, it's been a passport everywhere. We would never have got to meet you two handsome fellas without
well,
it.
Well, and that is what it's all about.
That's
and
the most important thing.
I think we all know
that. We would
that.
Never have gone so many places. You know, it was our ticket to so many places.
When you think back on when that came out, was it a surprise to you how quickly and how big that song became a hit?
I yes, any time we have anything that's even moderately successful, we're surprised because we're English.
So, you do look for the rain, don't you?
We do definitely look for the rain, but I know I sometimes when we're singing, I still feel like, what on earth is this thing about? But it always feels good. It makes me
feel... Well, if you don't know, don't look at us. Yeah,
exactly.
That's what we think.
What's right, this, exactly.
Does it mean something? Does it grow into meaning something different than it did when you first wrote it?
Will's going to answer this.
Will? Does it mean different things now than it did like 10 years ago when you wrote it? Can we turn on Will's mic? I don't think his mic's on. There we go.
It still means the same thing. Like Chris says, it was a kind of... It helped us immensely when we were starting out, and it was one of the first reasons that we ever got to go anywhere. So it's very special still, definitely.
Yeah. Coldplay is here. It's Breakfast with Coldplay on the World Famous Garrick because they are back.
Is.
They have emerged out of hibernation. They've been gone for a while. Now they're back with a brand new album coming out on Monday. I want to know. It's on. Yeah, it sounds good. It's on, Chris.
Okay.
I want to know because we'll talk a lot about the new record, of course, but I want to know what was hibernation like for you guys? You came off that massive tour, that huge hit album, Viva La Vida, and then what do? You just go underground and try to forget you're in a band for a while, or you're able to turn it off?
We throw away every razor we own. We just grow beards and get very fat and try and write balance for a period of 2 to 3 years.
Were there things that you wanted to do that you couldn't do because you were so busy with that last record, and now, hey, I finally got some time off, I'm going to go, whatever it is, paint, mountain climb, what, whatever it is.
Sometimes do both if you are a good climber. You can hold on with one hand and paint with the other.
Sure.
We didn't really have time for that, you're right. We feel very excited about being in the band at the moment, so we just do that. I know it sounds a bit boring.
Yeah. But you've done a lot of... You did a lot of festivals this past summer, and some bands will take a year, 2 years off. You guys just don't feel the need for that, or that's not how you work? Or?
I think we're all between 32 and 34 now, so we only have a limited period of our bass player, Guy, being so handsome.
You got to take advantage of that.
So we're trying to just milk that for all it's worth while we're still relatively young. So we can go painting and rock climbing when we're a bit older.
Okay. That is amazing to me that you guys are still so young, by the way.
Well, we're not that young.
That's pretty darn in the rock and roll game in particular. I mean,
true.
You're a lot younger than a lot of your contemporaries.
Yes.
That's true.
But we look a lot older.
You make up for it by looking bad?
We make up for it by looking 70.
How did you know the new album that comes out on Monday was done and ready? How did you put a button on it and go, that's it, we're ready to release that onto the world? Because Kevin and I have always talked to people about how at some point you just have to go, we're done, we're finished, or you'll work on it forever.
Well, that's a great question.
Ow.
I enjoyed that.
That was my brain.
Ow.
That's a good question. We were writing and writing and writing, and I kept bringing in new ideas to Will, our drummer, who's over there and who's also the member of the band who most like to say no to things.
Okay.
And about 2 months ago, I brought in a new idea for a song called Up in Flames. And he heard it. He said, I'd like to play on that. I will commit my drums to that piece of music.
Right.
And he said, also, I feel like that's the final song we need. We should finish this now. Isn't that right, Will?
Pretty much. I think we end up, you know, we write and we record and we fiddle and we tweak until someone literally takes it out of our hands. So, you know, as soon as the deadline's in place, then we start working properly.
I gotcha. Yeah. And when the deadline's in place, then you can kind of finish things up. Are you the kind of guys that write 100 songs and pick 12, 15, whatever?
I mean, we have a strange writing process because it normally starts with something I bring in, like an idea. And so for every 10 of those I bring in, we probably work on one.
Because Will says no to
because
nine
Will
of them?
Will or Guy say no.
And you have a lot of very bad ideas.
I have a lot of absolutely awful
clearly,
ideas.
That's what we're talking about here. We can just get it out there.
Yes, it's true. And they'll all be on my solo album. And and then for every one that we work on, we only keep 1 out of 10 of those. So I don't know what ratio we're into now, but
this band is successful despite you, Chris. That's what I'm learning.
It's true.
All right, it's Breakfast with Coldplay. A quick break. When we come back, the band's going to play some more for us. And we're going to take your questions as well, because that's what we do. We're live at the Red Bull Sound Space here at the world-famous K-Rock. More in a moment.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Coldplay.
Come on. Guys, thank you for getting up so early this morning. We were just talking to you during the commercials. We know that it is the opposite of your schedule in every way.
It's wonderful. It's a treat.
It's a treat, he lied. We are live at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. By the way, this is brand new. This is the debut appearance at K-Rock.com and of this space right here. We just built this. You guys are the inaugural event here today, so thank you for that. And it's fantastic. You don't feel that we're in a grimy industrial building. I mean, you feel like this is like being at the Roxy or something, you know? It's pretty cool, right?
Yes, it's very... Yes, I think you're talking it up a bit, but... It is a dingy room.
He is.
But where is the open bar that I heard so much about? That's really my biggest complaint right
now. It's a beautiful space. I'll describe it for your listeners. It's palatial. It's probably 600 square meters. It's got gilded,
it's the size of the Taj Mahal is what it is.
Balconies and
exactly.
Everything's gold.
Coldplay is here because Zylo Milato, if I'm saying that right.
You're saying it completely wrong.
All right, how do you say it?
How do you say it?
We say Milo Zylato.
That's a ridiculous title. You can't blame me for not getting that one right.
Coming from two guys called Kevin and Bean.
Well,
that's
that.
So here's what I figured. I figured there must be a song by that title on the album, so I'll get from the lyrics where they got the title from.
Right.
Yeah. And it's an instrumental.
Yes.
It's just a giant F you to the fans is what
it
is.
Should we just leave now?
No, I just...
No, it's a strange title, I agree, and I apologize for that.
No, it's okay, but...
But we just it just had to be called Milo Zylato for some reason.
Okay.
Maybe because it doesn't mean anything else.
Mm-hmm.
And we just wanted to have something like when they invented Dr. Pepper or Coca-Cola or Google, all these things that didn't mean anything until that thing was... I'm just talking nonsense.
Yeah, you are.
But I don't think of your band as being a band that's heavily on drugs, but apparently, apparently that's what's happening now.
Well... I don't... Yeah, well...
No? All right. That title track, which I won't attempt to say again, is one example
it's of... It's easy to say, but I just say Milo Zylato.
Milo Zylato.
Milo... All right. Room, Milo Zylato.
Milo Zylato.
All right. I think we've all committed it to memory now. That's one of the tracks on the album. There are a couple of others, too, that are almost like vignettes, like you're watching a movie or something like that, and it's like a transition piece from something to something. Tell me about that, because that's different for your records, I think.
Well, and I'm sorry I'm doing all the talking, but everyone else is feeling shy. But
that's right.
We are really trying to make albums like I'm putting together movies now, because we know that not that many people listen to full albums anymore, so we thought, well, we may as well try and make the best ones we can. Even if no one listens, we try to make it like a journey and a story from start to finish, and with little interludes and just places you can discover new things, and mm-hmm. not just a collection of singles in a row, you know. I guess because we watch so many movies, we feel that's a good way to do it.
Have you guys done any, forgive me if I sound like an ignorant Coldplay fan to not know this, but have you been involved in any kind of scoring or anything like that for movies? Is that something that would be fun?
We did the theme tune to Jaws.
I didn't realize that.
No, we didn't do that.
That's cool.
That was before we were born, but we haven't. We never get approached, and thanks for bringing that up.
I think it's time.
We covered something ugly. All right, we have Dave the King of Mexico over on the other side of the room. He's got some things over there.
I got Eric from Anaheim.
Yeah, I just want to know, where do you guys draw your inspiration for your artwork and your art direction from?
Oh, good. Well, Will, our drummer, that's a great answer for that.
Will, our drummer?
Good morning. Well, on this album, we as you may be able to see from the colourful pianos and guitars and instruments, we were very much inspired by the street art and graffiti, specifically of the kind of 70s and 80s New York graffiti scene, just because it's very inspirational in terms of turning something, you know, often you find graffiti on grey, kind of pretty ugly buildings, and to find these kind of splashes of colour and expression in these otherwise pretty grey places was a great inspiration to us, and it's instant and it's fulfilling and it's easy to do, and it's, you know, it's a very quick expression of artistry. So I think that was one of the main inspirations on this record.
Let me ask a follow up: is that true, or did you leave the stuff outside for a night and it got tagged? And you went, let's make it work.
And it got tagged.
No, okay.
The album comes out on Monday, not Tuesday, like usual. But you're going to do another song from the record right now called Paradise, I understand.
Okay.
I'd love to hear that.
Would you really like to hear it, or you just...
I really actually would.
Okay.
I'm not lying.
All right, man.
We'd like to hear a new one, a song that starts with a P.
Okay.
If that's all right.
We have two, and we'll choose this one. This is called Paradise.
Paradise. Kevin and Beach on K-Rock.
Let's get ready for breakfast! The Kevin and Bean Show, having breakfast with Coldplay.
Welcome back to the Red Bull Sound Space here at the world famous K-Rock. It's Kevin and Bean. Saying hello to fans of Coldplay watching all over the world today as we stream through Ustream on KRock.com. We've got four pasty Brits in front of us. Chris, Will, Guy, Johnny are here. The band is back with a new album coming out on Monday.
You're being so mean to us, man. What's up?
Not at all.
It's like 4 o'clock in the morning. We've shut down here.
Oh, you're not pasty Brits? That was an untrue statement. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not questioning the truth of it.
Don't blame it out.
Why mention it on radio?
Right. Why be a hater? That's why what I said. Yeah. Why be a hater? Hey, guys, you've been around. How many albums are we up to now? Is this five?
Five.
Okay.
Bit, yeah.
Five albums in. You're getting to the point now where you have too many songs to play in concert. How are you going to handle that? I mean, is it going to be constantly changing set lists? Or are you just going to dump some of the old songs forever? Or what are you going to do?
Yes, we're going to do both of that, those things.
Both.
No. Well, I think the reason why we keep making albums is to try and keep getting better songs. So hope we're just trying to build up to a concert where we actually really like every song.
Is there a worse Coldplay song? Is there a song that, thank God, we don't have to play that one anymore?
I think some people would argue there's quite a lot. we had an old song called Ode to Deodorant, which is a strange song.
People know it.
Well, these are very... wonderful fans. Yeah. even our most hardcore and wonderful fans know that it was a terrible, terrible song. Uh-huh. And it was written when we were kids, and it was awful. But we only ever played that live once anyway.
So now you got the new album out, and you did some big festivals over the summer, and you were playing some of the new songs.
Yes,
was there any kind of talk about, oh, we can't play it, the download problem, the leaking problem, you know, people will... bootleg it and take... I mean, was there any thought about that? Because you tried it out a bunch of places. Not really.
No, I think, you know, in this day and age, you can't really avoid that kind of stuff. You know, wherever you turn up, there's going to be a camera or something. So you just, you know, embrace it as part of the whole way of you know, attracting a buzz and interest, I suppose. But no, actually, the good thing about playing a lot of the new songs in festivals was that we hadn't finished recording them at that point. So it was...
Really?
Kind of informed the recording process a bit. We learn which songs were a bit too long or which songs needed, you know, speeding up a bit. So it was really useful.
So let me see if I've got this straight. So you took the songs on stage in front of how many people at Glastonbury, for example?
300.
300,000?
No.
300 people?
I counted 300.
Okay.
And then I stopped counting. Yeah.
And then instead of doing that in private, you said, okay, then we'll go back in private and make it shorter.
Yeah.
Okay.
Much.
All right. Just checking. All right.
You guys did Rock in Rio. Did you see Fat Axel?
Now, what is that some sort of Guns N' Roses jibe?
No. Axl Rose. Guns N' Roses was at Rock in Rio. And Axl's gained like 300 pounds since the last time anyone saw him. I wondered if you guys encountered him or his shadow.
Oh. Man, you're in a bad mood this
evening.
He is. No, this is his normal mood.
Okay. I'm just asking if you saw him in person.
We didn't see it. We would have loved to see Axl.
You guys think you guys will ever be fat?
What kind of question is that?
Because I don't see you guys as being the kind of guys who are going to be fat.
We get fat, but in our own time.
Okay.
but in
you schedule
question
fat
about
time.
Axl, I think one of our dream things, if we could ever make happen, would be to get the original Guns N' Roses lineup to play together.
Yeah. Oh, I hear that, sister. Seriously, that would be so awesome.
How can we do that together?
I think everyone hates Axl, honestly. I think the other guys would be into it. I just think everyone hates Axl.
Oh man! That's,
and I think he's lost it. He's a weirdo. So
I think
you've been overzealous.
He has. It's
hard being a singer. Everyone has a go at you.
True.
Let me tell you.
In the interest of taking the microphone away from Bean, let's go over to Dave, where we have some more listener questions.
How dare you?
Oh, I want to hear Bean talk all day. All right, I got Alex here.
What's the best story you guys have heard from a fan of how your music has affected them in some way?
Ooh, this is going to be gooey and emotional.
No, I'm going to try and make it not gooey and emotional now.
No, it's fine.
Whatever
you
want.
Whatever your story is.
We heard that there was a guy who couldn't get his horse to breed properly.
That's not true.
And he played Fix You, and lo and behold... sexual intercourse took place, and now he has the most expensive stud farm in Britain.
That's fantastic.
It's not true, of course.
No.
It's not giving it emotional.
We talked to a listener this week on the air, because we have crazy hardcore Coldplay fans here, right? Am I right about that? Okay. We talked to a listener on the air who planned her vacation, flew to Australia to see you guys in concert down there.
Right.
Was set up on a blind date.
Yes.
Another Coldplay fan, a guy down there
oh,
that
that's
she
good.
Met.
They went on the blind date. They fell deeply in love and got married.
For real?
For reals. They walked down the aisle to a Coldplay song.
Yes.
She is now 7 months pregnant with her first child, and the baby's first and middle name are Chris Martin.
Wow.
No kidding. And just to show you how hardcore this was, she didn't get tickets to be here today. As much as, with all of that going on, she didn't make the cut for this.
You're a good form today.
It's
man.
True. Am I right? I'm not lying, right? She's not here. We didn't give her tickets.
There
remember?
Were other extenuating circumstances that we didn't want her here. But
I heard she was coming out the aisle to a Coldplay song, and then as the chorus kicked in, she's like, "Nah, maybe not.
That's a bad
idea."
Turned
and walked the other way.
But I mean, that's insane. I mean, the level of fandom that I'm sure you've heard a lot of stories that of people just you can't even imagine.
No, that's a pretty full on one.
But yeah.
Look, you know, we love hearing stuff like that.
Yeah.
It's what makes everything worthwhile.
Have you seen a lot of tattoos and other things like
We've
that?
We've seen a few tattoos and funny things. And
yeah. Let me ask you about your famous British self-deprecation, because you seem to revel in the fact that there are some people out – you haven't won the whole world over. There are some people out there who still don't like you, and that I can't tell whether that bothers you or excites you, because it seems like you spend a lot of time thinking about that, and I don't know why.
No, I think we are interested in turning negatives into positives, because I feel like we've been – every kid is trying to do that at school all the time. You know, you're taking a lot of crap from people. And so if we talk about it, it's only to say, you know what, when people are really mean to you or really don't like what you're doing, don't let that distract you mm-hmm. from your passion and from your vision. We don't mean it in a, like, self-pity way, because I couldn't give a toss about those people, but
I'm glad to hear that part.
I'm just talking about trying to say what?
Someone yelled, "Yeah, Bean."
Yeah.
Mad at him.
No, because it's art, and you can, I mean, Kevin still doesn't like the Beatles, for instance. What do you have to do to get somebody to like you? He doesn't like the Beatles, so not everybody is going to like thing.
We don't mind about that. I'm saying that's absolutely cool. Yeah, it's fine. I'm just saying, in life, it's good to learn how to take negative stuff like that and turn it into positives. Every time something like that happens to us, we just flip it around. Have you seen Kung Fu Panda 2? Have you seen Kung Fu Panda 2?
I'm sorry.
So the lesson that he learns in the end of Kung Fu Panda 2, right, is the bad guy, whose name I forget, sends an evil force right at his head.
Okay.
Po, this is the lead panda, of course. And
no, this is good. Keep going.
I'm going to keep going. And Po, he learns how to turn that force around and send it back twice as strong.
How did we start talking about Kung Fu Panda 2?
I don't know.
So that's really what happened?
I don't know.
Do you try and avoid reviews and press and that kind of stuff, or do you just...
Yeah, man, we're just so happy to have our job at this point.
Yeah.
You know, if someone doesn't like us, we don't care. We just care about the people that do like us, and we try.
Well, there are plenty of those. Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine what the rush is. I see the video of you guys playing these big festivals like we've talked about. When you have literally hundreds of thousands of people singing your words back to you, I can't even imagine what that rush must feel like.
Well, it's like this. I can't even imagine what that rush must feel like. Just amplify it.
King of Mexico's in the crowd. Breakfast with Coldplay on the Kevin and Bean Show. Who's next?
I got Michael.
Morning, guys.
Morning.
This is a question for everyone in the band. What's your favorite song to sing in the shower?
A song to sing in the shower?
I didn't even know they showered together. This is weird.
It's new to me. Yeah, we do kind of close four-part harmonies in the shower. When we're
good.
Normally All right. Some kind of gospel number. Johnny takes the bass line.
We do a beautiful version of Girlfriend by NSYNC.
I'd like to hear that.
Well, and yes, well, I'm sure you can come and shower with us today.
No, I'd rather... Just tell me about it. That's good.
I don't know, guys. I'm going to dare talk. Do you sing in the shower, guy?
Not really. I'm more of a bath man myself.
Are you singing in the bath?
Nobody sings in the bath, Kevin.
Do you sing in the bath? He's not going to dodge that question.
Are you kind of a song that I quite like at the moment is it's a tune called "I Need a Dollar" by a guy called Aloe Black.
I love that so much.
Great song.
That's a great song. I would sing that in the shower if I took a shower.
There we go.
Very nice. Have there been, now that you guys have been together for a long time, are there areas musically that you would like to explore but have not been able to under the name of Coldplay that have kind of tempted you to go off, as so many other bands do, and have side projects or things like that to get other musical ideas out?
Like Chris said before, at this point in our career, we have nothing to lose, and we spent a lot of time experimenting with loads of different types of music, and whilst it may not kind of appear on the record, you know, quite literally, we listen to so much bizarre music, and you know, you try and take influence from
lots of music from all around the world. We were listening to a lot of kind of urban dance music and things like that, and Hungarian folk music. And, you know, even though it doesn't kind of necessarily translate as obviously on record, it's all there. It all kind of fills your brain and gives you ideas. And so we don't really feel like we're not unfulfilled by any means. You know, we feel like we can try anything we like. It doesn't always end up on the record, but, you know, mm-hmm. you should hear some of the stuff that we were doing.
How different is it from the beginning of the process, like this album, for example, the beginning, what you thought it was going to be?
Very different this time around. We had an idea at the beginning, after Viva La Vida, that we were going to do an acoustic record, something very small and kind of intimate. And
how'd that work
reflective.
Out?
Well, we spent about a year on it.
Really?
And then we scrapped it.
Wow.
Although some of the songs have survived, you know. I think just songs came about that didn't fit that mold. In fact, Paradise was one of the songs that came about, and we thought, we can't do this acoustically, and we can't save it, you know, for 2 years' time. You know, we have to put all our eggs in one basket and just go for it. But some of the Charlie Brown was in that kind of acoustic version, and that other song called "Us Against the World."
Us Against the World, yeah.
In that era, so some of it survived.
You can buy the brand new Coldplay album when it comes out on Monday. The band is here on the Kevin and Bean Show at the Red Bull Sound Space at K Rock. Let's do another number, you guys. What do you think?
We'll do an old one.
You want a song? Yes. What are you in the mood for here?
This is old. Check it out.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
That's the end of the song. Thank you.
Breakfast with the Coldplay continues in a minute on the world famous K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Bean's Breakfast with Coldplay.
Breakfast with Coldplay, we are back. You can stream it at krock.com. You can listen to it here on the radio.
We're in the Red Bull Sound Space, by the way. This is the debut of a brand new performance space here in the K-Rock building. I apologize to some of you in the back. Some of you are almost 20 feet away from the band, and I know it's very difficult for you to see them from way back there. By the way, we are streaming this on the internet, so people around the world are watching. I was just talking to them off air about comments from Japan and Russia and Korea and all sorts of places. Your fans all over the world who are watching here today. So.
You've got the best fans in the world, man.
You do have the best fans in the world. Thank you very much.
We were talking just before the break about you had the fans singing along with that song, and of course, "Fix You," the video is you know, you in, was it Canada, Montreal, someplace?
I can't remember.
And they were all singing with you, and it always strikes me as people try to speed things up. That's got to be difficult. You have to like turn up your ears or something because people try to speed up the song, and then does it throw you off?
Have that problem within the. I always try and speed up, and then I turn around and Will look.
Oh, is that right?
He goes, "Hey, evil look."
Well, that's Will's job. Is
he'll give it to you now. Watch.
Yeah, that's terrifying. You're practically a Harry Potter villain with that look. That is, you know, Bruce Springsteen famously screams at his fans if they start clapping along with the songs because their rhythm is always off and it screws up the band on stage. He's like, "Don't clap."
Which that is one of the most nonsense stories I've ever heard you tell.
But it happens to be
true. Of all the lies you've said,
it happens to be true. You guys have been doing a fair amount of publicity. You got upcoming appearances on everything from the Colbert Report, the Ellen Show, Saturday Night Live, by the way. The band is going to be back, I think, on November the 12th. But I saw a tidbit that I had not heard before in your interview you did this weekend with the CBS Television, where you talked about your first gig together.
Right.
And the name that you used, I had never heard before.
Yes, and you'll never hear again.
These fans already know what it is.
Yes.
But Starfish was the name. And you said it was the story was it was necessity. You had no band name and you were getting ready to do a gig. Tell me about that day, because that's usually bands have a name before they even have songs.
Well, we had songs, but we didn't have a name. So we had what we did. My dad took us for breakfast at a cafe where railway workers eat, and we had sausages. And he said, "You boys really need to have a name," because he was sort of Svengali type at that point. And so I think Guy said, "Well, my favorite fish is a starfish." I'm making all this up.
Of all the lies you've told me.
I can't remember why we chose that name. Why did we choose that? No,
does anyone remember?
I remember Johnny and I were printing the flyers. We knew we had a gig. We knew we had songs. We knew we had a band. And we knew we had a flyer.
Mm-hmm.
And we knew how much it cost to get in. So we started filling in the flyer. And there was just one big gap at the top, and like, what are we gonna call it? And literally, our time on the computer was running out because we didn't have any money. So
you're paying by the hour at a public plate, right?
You only had 8 letters left.
Yeah. Exactly. In fact, we just clicked on a kind of random name generator, and there it was.
Who?
That's a pretty good one.
Well, it's not that good.
Where was?
It's pretty good. That's why we dumped it.
It's pretty good. I like it.
What kind of place was the gig, and how many people were you playing for?
It was, funnily enough, bigger than this.
Yeah.
Well.
So we've gone downhill.
You didn't realize that was going to be a high point of your career.
We had more people at our first gig called Starfish than we do in 2011 at K-Rock.
Did you?
Can you believe that?
Did you do anyone else's songs the first?
We just went straight into.
We didn't play one of our own songs twice, though.
You did, really?
Sure.
Yeah. On accident or just because you didn't have enough songs?
As an encore. We thought an encore meant actually an encore.
Again.
Play it again. Yeah.
How long?
No, we didn't mean that.
How long did it take before you guys came up with a song that was good enough to stick around, to actually end up being a song that you eventually record? I mean, you must have gone through a bunch of songs before you got to the point.
One from our very first gig, in all honesty, one song, a song called High Speed, made it to our
first
album.
No way!
Yes,
that's
the rest didn't make it, and... the next gig, I think we played a song called Shiver, and that made it to our first album. So it was, but what was funny, because we were waiting for Will, our lovely drummer who you keep hearing from, he was the last to join the band. So we had quite a few songs we'd already gone through before he joined. So a lot of the really terrible ones were out of the way even before. He was playing drums.
Sure. It's Breakfast with Coldplay here on the world-famous K-Rock. Kevin Bean, Coldplay, Dave the King of Mexico in the audience with more listener questions.
Are you really the King of Mexico?
I am.
Wow. Yeah, it's pretty
Chris,
cool.
We call him that because his parents are Hispanic and they speak Spanish. And he got Fs in high school in Spanish.
Wow.
Who needs Spanish?
So we call it the King of Mexico. All right.
That's not an up-and-coming language. It's no use for that here.
All right, enough about me. I'm here with Derek.
Hi, how have you guys managed to stay together for so long and continue to make great music?
Thank you very much. That's a lovely question. Well, Johnny never speaks, and so he doesn't tell anyone what he really thinks, which is best, I think.
He's sitting on seething heat right now, Chris. You just don't know it.
I don't know. He'll answer. Johnny, you want to answer?
All right.
We're quite nice to each other. I think that helps. We have good lawyers.
But a band that's been together this long, you have to have fights. You have to not agree.
We had quite a lot of fights very early on, and agreed to get over them.
Okay.
And we learned a lesson. You know, we learned that we're not the best musicians in the world, and never will be. But what we do have is each other. You know, we have the chemistry of being together, and
all right, everybody. Oh.
That's why I don't speak. I'm too cheesy.
Very nice. I had 8:30 in the office pool.
I'm so sorry. I didn't advocate so early.
No worries.
One more question, Dave, before we hear some more live music from Breakfast with Coldplay. What's up?
I'm here with Carmen.
Hi, Coldplay.
Hi.
Who are some of your favorite artists out today?
Oh, okay. That's a good question. Mine, I'm going to start with Rihanna. I'm going to start with Arcade Fire, and I'm gonna, even though he's about 3 years older than us, I'm going to say Bruce Springsteen. I don't know what Guy would say. What would you say, Guy?
Guy?
You put me on the spot now, you see. Tell me some people that are out today.
And then you'll vote on them?
We'll come back. Well,
I like Lana Del Rey. That song Video Games is absolutely stunning. I think that's a cracker.
All right, that's a good tip. It's a cracker, is it?
Johnny, what you got?
A cracker or a banger.
Johnny?
You're with Will.
He's with Will.
He's with Will.
We'll come back to Guy. Look.
All right.
You know...
hang on, Guy.
Has Guy come up with one?
I don't think he has. That's why we're going back to him.
You know, I kind of listen to a lot of old music. I find that with iTunes and stuff now, if a record comes out now or if it's come out in 1975 and I haven't heard it, it's kind of equally as...
Do you have a name of any band that has ever recorded in history?
Well, I found this band... I think they're called Cool in the Gang or something.
No? Not heard of them.
Hey, before you sing another song here, Chris, since you brought up Arcade Fire.
Yes, sir.
Are you guys competitive with the other bands that are, and there aren't many very successful rock bands anymore. Arcade Fire is one of them. Are you competitive with a group like that? Do you look at them as contemporaries that you want to be better than?
That's a great question because I think, like you said, the bands, for whatever reason, there's less of them, either because of investment or whatever. And I find that amongst us and Arcade Fire and the Kings of Leon and even U2 and all that, there's like everyone is very friendly and respectful to each other. But singers especially, we're all very competitive. So it's like a polite, but everyone wants to write better songs than everyone else. It's a healthy thing, but it's definitely there.
So when the new Arcade Fire album comes out, you go out and buy it or download
it.
And then you go, oh!
Yeah,
they killed me. Why didn't I write that song? I mean, is that the kind of thing you think?
That just happens with any song. I feel that way about the Adele song, Someone Like You. When that came out, I was like,
yeah.
Oh, man.
Change the game.
Yeah, so it's constantly, you know, someone throws a songwriting punch and you have to work out how to throw one back. It's healthy.
But that makes it fun, though. Makes it fun.
Yeah, I think at this point, it's stupid kind of bands bickering amongst each other because, you know, it doesn't mean anything. But there's definitely a competition.
Sure, yeah. Well, your new album is coming out on Monday, as we mentioned. It's Breakfast with Coldplay here on the World Famous Carrot. You're going to do a new song for us.
Yes, sir.
What's this one all about?
This is called Charlie Brown. This is about running around town, writing, painting, and just having fun.
There you go.
All right.
Live Coldplay on K-Rock.
I just had to make up that answer, by the way.
That's brand new Coldplay, and it's Breakfast with Coldplay. We'll be right back on the world famous K-Rock.
It's Kevin and Beans. Breakfast.
You'd be like a big breakfast machine with Coldplay.
We are live. The band is here, performing live, and we're getting questions from the audience here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Dave, the King of Mexico, is with Coldplay fans here at the Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Dave, who's up next to talk to the band, please?
This is Brandon.
Hello, Brandon.
How's it going?
Hi, Brandon.
Were there ever any challenges you faced personally or as a band that made you question your motivation or goals in producing your music?
Yes, every day there's something, you know. Sometimes we get, a song that doesn't... What's that noise?
What is that noise?
Somebody's radio, it sounds like.
Someone in the room is listening to another radio.
That's
station.
True. Somebody's listening to something else right now.
Unforgivable.
Can we tell where it's coming from? This is weird. We go. Nice job.
So sometimes we have the challenge of another radio show coming through while we're doing one. And sometimes we have things as simple as we can't get a chorus to sound good. And so we think, this is a waste of time. And then we have sometimes outside factors. We occasionally get, sued or things like that, wrongly. And there's all kinds of challenges. And also sometimes we listen to records that we think sound much better than ours, and that drives you on. So it's kind of many little things.
Hey, Chris, the rush of being on stage must be worth all of that.
Well, 100%, 100%.
It seems like a lot of that is negative and, lawsuits or whatever. You just, I just want to play music.
But that was the question, right?
No, I know. But I'm saying it must be such a great thing.
When you have lots of people singing along with a song, it's the most incredible feeling. And it's worth, we take twice as much of the nonsense to do that.
So you're saying you want twice as much of the nonsense. I'm unclear. I'm sorry.
Do you guys feel like you are one of the biggest bands in the world? Maybe the biggest band in the world?
Well, yeah.
In all of recorded history?
We're definitely the tallest.
No, I ask because when you're growing up and you look at bands, whoever you loved when you were growing up, you had a vision of what it must be like to be in that band. Now you're in that band, and I'm just wondering how it squares with what you thought it would be.
I don't know, man. Like you said, because we're English, we'll be self-deprecating, but it really doesn't feel like that when you're in the middle of it.
Yeah.
This room feels very similar to the room we first ever played in, so it's hard to... It's hard to sort of think in terms of size and stuff. It doesn't...
Viva La Vida was the best-selling album of the year in the whole world, the year it came out, 2008, I think. Now, do you look at that and go, if this one's not, then, we've failed? Or do you not have those kinds of expectations?
Well, no, but only because Adele sells, 50 times...
Yeah, you're not going to touch her. We know that, right?
Yes, well, it doesn't...
How much do you think about sales at all? Maybe not at all. I don't know.
Now, not very much. Because, like I said, there's so few bands, and we're very lucky to even have a job.
Right. This lady next to me was singing along to every word of the new song that's not out yet a minute ago.
Yes.
Now, she's stealing your music, right? I mean, we know that. There's no question. You've already downloaded that on the internet, right?
I've been to 5 of the shows.
5 of them.
Yeah, you're learning from the lives. There we go. All right.
Right back at you.
Good answer. Nice.
Dave, we have another question over there?
Yeah, I'm with someone who must have ditched work because she made up this name. It's Belem.
Belem.
Belem, okay.
Hi.
Hello. Hi, Belem.
Wanted to know what you guys'
favorite...
If that
favorite... is your real name.
What you guys' favorite pie is.
Our favorite pie?
Yeah.
Oh, finally. Finally we get that one out there.
Probably American pie, too. The wedding. What is our favorite pie? I'm going to have to consult the band on this, but I'm...
Chris, the girl right in the front here was telling Will, how about a rim shot? He's not paying attention. You need to have rim shots after a few of those.
You could help the
Come
guy
on,
out wait, with some rim shots.
Don't give me the look.
You're on rim shots, we're on pies.
All right. Just saying.
My favorite pie would be apple and cinnamon.
Apple and cinnamon, all right.
Guy?
Guy?
You have to shout, man. You have to shout.
He's not a shouter.
No.
Banoffee, yeah, that's a good one.
That's not a real thing. That's not a real thing. What's a banoffee? That sounds like something Belem would make up.
It's like banana and caramel and...
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds good, but we don't have that here, I guess.
Yes, you do.
That's a British thing.
Yes, we do.
Really? I guess I just didn't know that. Okay. All right. We're running. I can't even believe how fast this time is going by. We're almost out of time. We'll have time for a few more questions, but we want to make sure the guys have time to play, so let's do another song right now. What do you think?
Okay.
What do you want to do here? Breakfast with Coldplay, world famous K-Rock.
That didn't sound too enthusiastic, I've got to say.
Yeah, let's try it again.
Okay. Are we going to actually play a song?
Well, we hope.
Let's go then.
That was our dream. I don't know if it's yours.
Here we go. When you try but you don't succeed, when you get what you want but not what you need, when you feel so tired but you can't sleep, stuck in reverse, when the tears come streaming down, or you do something you can't replace, when you love someone but it goes to waste, what could be worse? And life
I will try to fix you.
Coldplay. It's Breakfast with Coldplay. We'll return in a minute on the world famous K-Rock.
Are you ready for breakfast?
You ready?
Oh, good.
It's Kevin and Beans. Breakfast with Coldplay.
We are back. Coldplay is here.
Red Bull Sound Space at K-Rock. Debuting this performance space with the band Coldplay. Their new record comes out on Monday. Hey, I know what I wanted to ask you guys, because we're almost out of time here. You did Fix You right before the break. It was beautiful.
It was for Kevin.
You saw, yeah, I heard Kevin requested that. I didn't know that's how it worked, but that's awesome. Did you see the Young at Heart movie with the old folks all singing that song?
I saw a bit of it, yeah.
What'd you think of that?
I thought it was
I mean,
great.
As a songwriter, when you guys see one of your songs done by somebody, anybody else, I imagine it has to be an interesting experience for you.
Well, it's funny because that movie is amazing, but I always have that feeling that you have when you hear your voice on an answering machine, even if someone else is singing one of our songs. I get sort of tingly and weird.
All of those people in that movie are dead now. You know that, right?
What?
No, I'm just saying because they were so old at the time.
Not all of them, surely.
How about the Willie Nelson cover of The Scientist?
That's wonderful.
What'd you think of that? I mean, he's a legend. You see a legend singing one of your songs.
A legend with ponytails.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Both are true.
And one more I wanted to ask, because you too did Yellow at Glastonbury.
I'm sure you did.
I can't even imagine what that's like. You have to have been humbled by that.
Well, they don't really have that many hits, so.
Well, they got to fill out the set, right?
They needed to fill out the set.
They have to borrow from you. What are you guys' plans coming up here? Now, I know it's, October, so through the rest of the year, what are your plans, and then the next year?
We're probably going to take a holiday and get all fat and maybe open some kind of strip club.
Okay, fat, open a strip club.
I like it.
Either that or just work really hard and play lots of concerts.
Okay. One or the other.
Is 2012, is that a big touring year? Are you guys going to circle the world again?
Know. Or
you don't know yet.
We're having that discussion. It all depends on our hips.
On your hips.
Whether they can stand the pressure.
Okay. Well, I mean, when you're in your early 30s, I mean, you really got to be careful about stuff like that, obviously. It has been such a thrill to have you guys back on. Kevin and I have been lucky enough to be interviewing you guys on and off for the last 10 years, and we always so look forward to when you come to town and we get a chance to spend some time with you. And we're so excited about the new record, and we can't wait, you know, for all the good things that are coming.
I think I can safely say you're our favorite pair of DJs in combat shorts.
All right.
Quite a compliment. And thanks to the Coldplay fans. Thanks to Red Bull Sound Space here at K-Rock. I know we have time for just one more.
Thanks, everybody.
What do you want to close it out with today, guys?
We're going to close it with a song called Every Teardrop is a Waterfall.
Fantastic.
I know that song.
Thank you, everybody. See you later.
Thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, boys. Well, 6.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q, and it is 20 minutes till 10 o'clock.
Thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. Fun day today with Coldplay. Always outstanding to hang out with those guys. Man, that was fun.
Yep.
I love them so much.
They're so good.
Ralph Garman returns tomorrow. He'll be doing the Showbiz Beat the way it's supposed to be. In the meantime, we are filling in. I love this story so much, and I bet by time we come on the air tomorrow, we'll know who the mystery woman is who has filed a lawsuit against Amazon.com. We know that she lives in Texas. Some reports on the internet are suggesting she is Asian American. She is an actress. She's suing Amazon.com for $1 million because she claims they put her real age on a website. Here's what happened. They own IMDb, which is that website you go to and you go, oh, what movie was that dude in?
Right.
And you go to IMDb. Well, there's also another version of that you can pay for. IMDb is free. There's another version you can pay for that has way more information, like contact information on actors and directors and stuff like that. So she signed up for that because she's an actress and she thought it would help her professionally. She thinks what happened is when she put in her information, Amazon.com used that and updated her IMDb page to reflect her actual age as opposed to the age she was telling everybody that she was. And now she says, now that Hollywood producers know how old she is, she's going to get fewer roles in the entertainment industry. Youth is king, is what it says in the lawsuit. $1 million she's looking for. She's living in Texas. Like I said, some sites say she's Asian. Who can it be? That's what I want to know.
Who can it be?
Is it that little Brenda song from the Disney Channel? Is she really 40? Is that what's happening
it's
here?
Just, she's dumb because now it's going to bring that much attention to the fact that she's old. Hey, how about not lying?
Yeah. How about all the people who had no idea and didn't care how old you were? Now everybody's going to know how old you are. But anyway, I can't wait to find out what happens with that suit. That's awesome.
New Vanity Fair article with Courtney Love. Every time she speaks, she seems to, make headlines.
She has no filter. That's what I like about her. She thinks something, she says it. And she said that she does not want to date anybody who's poorer than her. She's sick of it.
Well, she's lost so much money, not just her own carelessness, but by fraud, that she probably has money on the mind a lot right now. Like she didn't want to be without.
Says her dream is to find someone with really great lawyers, preferably a member of the British aristocracy. So to me, that sounds like she's joking. And she sounds like the kind of person who she would be joking when she says that, and then Vanity Fair would write it. I don't know. I wasn't there, but I would. Once she says that she wants British aristocracy, I mean, that has to be a joke, right?
Well, I can't imagine.
There's no way she's serious.
I can't imagine she thinks that anyone in British aristocracy would go out with a gutter snipe like Courtney Love. I mean, God bless her and all, but seriously, you know?
Skinny little bitch.
Well, maybe so. Neil Sean from Journey has never had more publicity in all the years he's been with the band than he has lately, now that he has hooked up with his new girlfriend, Michelle or Mikhail Salahi. She was the White House party crasher, remember, who left her husband, didn't tell him, left her husband and ran off to tour with Journey.
Yep.
Well, she moved out of the house with just a suitcase, left everything else she owns behind. And apparently her husband has already sold most of that stuff.
Sweet.
He is a man scorned. So she went out on a shopping spree last Tuesday and apparently dropped over $10,000 on underwear.
What?
42 new bras, 38 pairs of panties is what she went out and bought.
And that cost $10,000?
$10,000. TMZ.com has the story. And I don't know whether she paid. I mean, she can't. How much money can she have? I imagine that's Journey Dude going, hey, dress up, baby.
Oh, man. But, Journey Dude has just stepped in it.
Yeah, Journey Dude is going to regret this decision.
He can't
and by
be
the
happy.
Way, we never heard much fallout from this. But remember, when Journey Dude ran off with the party crasher from the White House, he'd only been married for 2 months to a Playboy playmate.
I didn't know that.
Whatever happened to that girl? What's up with that story?
Journey Dude was also best friend of the husband of the woman that he ran off.
Yes, this is ugly all over the place.
So Journey Man Dude, not good. If you're keeping score at home, the home game, Ashton Kutcher and Demi Moore. What's going on? He was at Bill Clinton's Decade of the Difference concert last Saturday night, Hollywood Bowl. He was alone, but he was still wearing his wedding band.
Ooh. Are we supposed to take that as a clue?
So now Us Weekly's reporting they're back together. But Us Weekly is going to come out with something next week that says they're not. So you can make of that what you will.
And why are we following this story with such great detail?
I don't know.
The beautiful Rashida Jones from The Office is back in the news. I love her so much. She's interviewed in the new Playboy magazine. She does their feature called 20 Questions. And, of course, you know, her father is the legendary music producer Quincy Jones. So he's known and worked with Michael Jackson since the time he was a little kid.
Yeah, true.
So Rashida Jones kind of grew up with Michael Jackson as a friend for reals. Here's her quote from Playboy, and I love this. Michael basically grew up with us, so I have a million memories of him. We were at each other's house all the time. He was definitely a bit of an alien for sure. And when I was young, it felt as if he was my age, not 18 years older, but with just a little bit more pep. Later, we'd go out on the town together. He always wore those surgical masks. And here's the part of the story that is getting the attention. Once, my sister, Michael, Emmanuel Lewis, and I got into a car with super soakers and drove by a movie theater and super soaked the hell out of people waiting in line.
What?
They had no idea. They had just been super soaked by the King of Pop.
Michael Jackson was a wacky dude.
Yes. He's the last person I expect to go out there and do wacky hijinks.
Wow.
But there you go. New CDs and DVD releases today. Of course, we just had our breakfast with Coldplay. Their album, as excited as we are about it, is not available until Monday. But you can buy the new one from Jane's Addiction today. That is out, called The Great Escape Artist.
That's a good one.
Also, Chris Isaak is back with a brand new record today called Beyond the Sun. And a band we played a little bit here on K-Rock called M83 has a new record out called Hurry Up, We're Dreaming. Ralph Garman's Red State DVD is available for sale or download today. Kevin Smith, of course, wrote and directed. He'll be on our show tomorrow. Also, the last Pirates of the Caribbean movie, On Stranger Tides with Johnny Depp, available today. Batman Year One, the animated series, is out today. Bad Teacher. That was, by the way, that Cameron Diaz, Jason Segel movie, Bad yeah. Teacher, made over $100 million.
It did?
I don't think of that as being a big hit, but apparently a lot of people went to that. Also, The Captains, the film that William Shatner told us about last week, where he sits down with Patrick Stewart and Kate Mulgrew and all the other captains from the Starship Enterprise. That's out today. And the Tribe Called Quest documentary, Beats, Rhymes, and Life, also out today. Check it out.
Steven Tyler, according to Fashionista.com, which you know I check daily because I am a fashion snob. Apparently, Liv Tyler is his daughter, of course. And the American Idol judge, apparently, and rock icon, raids her closet. He goes into her closet sometimes. He goes, oh, I like this blouse.
You don't watch American Idol.
I'm going to wear this.
He's I'm surprised he and J-Lo don't show up wearing the same thing with his, the number of women's clothes that Steven Tyler wears. It's crazy. I mean, he's like 63 years old. He looks like an old woman. And he shows up in these... I mean, he's practically wearing blouses. It's the weirdest thing.
It's his daughter's blouses. Now that you know that, are you going to go, whoa, that's a little creepy.
What, that he's doing? Yeah.
He's wearing his daughter's blouses. He can't get his own?
I don't know what's going on with him. Why is he... Yeah, I don't know why he's digging in his daughter's closet. I don't get that. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Dawn Wells. You know her as Marianne from Gilligan's Island. I think there's only three left from the island. She's one of them, 73 years old today. Also, the Muscles from Brussels, Jean-Claude Van Damme, 51 years old today. Peter Svensson from the Cardigans turns 37 today. Part of the best Kevin Bean interview ever.
He fell asleep during the interview.
I think he did. I think he's the one, actually. Neo is 32 today. Beautiful actress Frida Pinto from Slumdog Millionaire is 27 years old today. Tyler Posey, star of MTV's Teen Wolf, is 20. And today, Zac Efron, 24 years old.
Oh my gosh, Zac Efron is so beautiful.
Who Zac Efron is freaking gorgeous.
I want to marry him.
Get in line, Tux.
Yeah, get in line indeed. And that is the Showbiz Beat.
All right. Tomorrow morning we have an all-new show. Ralph will be back from Philadelphia where he was doing his podcast with Kevin Smith. He's going to be bringing Kevin Smith with him.
Interesting. Okay.
I think they live together now. I'm not sure.
I wonder how it went with him in Philadelphia. Famous for being unruly crowds. I wonder if they threw snowballs at him or anything.
I doubt it. I think he probably only had friends there, but we'll find out. Kevin Smith will be in the studio, too, talking about Red State and other things. We have our feature 911 is a joke we haven't done in a while. That's where we found Victor Fuentes. We've got a new one for you. It's fantastic. We have You Were Impaled. We're going to do the phone topic tomorrow. You Were Impaled.
Oh, I love that.
So it's bizarre because we played the story of our intern earlier. If you didn't hear it, we'll repeat it again tomorrow. But she was impaled. And then Bean said my mom was impaled. And then Dave said I was impaled. So... what's happening?
It's very popular with the kids.
I don't think it is. It seems bad in every instance. But anyway, that's coming up as well. And our game, Snooki or Chloe, where we try to figure out who tweeted what. Coming up tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean show. And we'll see you then.